Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications.
Hello and welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Spencer Myers. On today's show, I talk with Guy Ash, a global training manager with Pessl Instruments, about the future of online education and certification in the ag industry. We'll hear from Colin Penner, a farm management instructor with the University of Manitoba's Agriculture Diploma Program. And we touch base with Markets Farm's Marlo Glass for our weekly look at the markets and weather. But first, if you're a gearhead or machinery fanatic, chances are you've read some articles in Grain News Magazine's machinery section. They've added another reporter to their roster, and his name is Travis Workington. He's the newest addition to the Grain News team, and he'll be focusing on machinery and how-to articles inspired from his day-to-day life on the farm. Travis joins me now. Hi, Travis. Thanks for joining us on Between the Rows today.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So, Travis, you are the new machinery reporter for Grain News Magazine. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about your background in farming and how you're currently working on a farm while reporting for Grain News?
Right. So, I have been working on a farm for the last 12 years. And on that farm, my boss also owns a trucking company that has around 40 or so trucks on the fleet. So between those two things, I was really able to get my hands dirty, so to speak, hone my machinery skills, and really learn about the machinery that way. The farm I work on is—it's not a huge farm; it's just a grain farm, about 2,300 acres. We mostly farm wheat and soybeans and canola.
So you get to do a little bit of everything then on the machinery side of things. Is it fair to say that you kind of handle the operation, maintenance, kind of whatever kind of comes up that day?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. I would go to work in the morning and kind of don't really know what you're going to be doing, but there's always something to do. It could be fixing a tarp on a grain trailer or greasing a truck, fixing airlines, and then it would be, loading and unloading grain and working on a tractor, and that was just a typical Tuesday, right?
So you've got your hands kind of involved with a bunch of different types of machinery. Is there anything that really sparks your interest? Is there anything that you really enjoy working on or operating or even reading about?
I'm most focused right now. I'm just actually currently writing a piece on air seeders and planters, and how those two technologies are starting to marry into each other. We have a lot of good things that we can do, or that we currently do, with air seeders in the prairie provinces, and more recently now planters have started to make their way onto our field as well. But there are some problems that exist with both those systems, but manufacturers are starting to realize the benefits of having both systems on one machine, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to seeing in the next couple of years, is how that's going to change, because I think it'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think part of that might be that, Western farmers are kind of expanding their cropping rotations a little bit and looking at new opportunities rather than maybe just that strictly wheat canola rotation that a lot of farmers have been kind of stuck in?
Yeah, I think that plays an important part. And also it's the potential cost savings for systems like this that'll allow you to actually plant a seed more accurately, and you can get your canola rates down a lot lower, but still get the same yields at the end of the year.
In your March 10th article, the title was "Getting Your Air Seeder Ready for Spring." Like you said, I think you're obviously drawing some inspiration from being directly on the farm. Can farmers expect more of these sort of hands-on, how-to articles?
Right. I think I directly will write about experiences that I am having on the farm, because if I'm having that experience or that problem, right, chances are somebody else is going to be dealing with it as well. And it's always nice to know, I think, from a reader's point, that somebody else is going through the same problem. Like if I have a machine that's breaking down and I'm having trouble troubleshooting the root of the cause or whatever, I can write about it and somebody else can probably learn from it because I've gone through that.
Yeah, that I think it's so common that, you know, while the problem might not be exactly the same farm to farm, there's it's nice to know. It's like, oh, I heard about this guy fixing it this way, you know. So I think it offers a lot of insight to farmers. And like you said, it gives you that great hands-on experience. Like you're going to be writing more how-tos in the future. So I guess right now, what are some articles that readers can find online maybe? And, you know, what maybe tell us about your upcoming next one or two articles.
Okay. So the only other articles I have online right now are one that I wrote about the air seeder, getting air seeder ready. And then there was one online and a previous issue of Grain News was about a new sprayer that Horsch was releasing to the market this summer, I believe. So I believe some upcoming articles, I wrote one that'll be in the next issue where I go into a water trailer that I built for servicing our sprayer on the farm. And that just... I just go through the process of how we added, you know, tanks to a deck trailer and added a inductor system and how I built that trailer. And then also in that article I mentioned a sea tender that we use on the farm for servicing our air seeder in spring as well.
Okay, Travis, well, that's great. I think that offers readers a great insight into, you know, how other people are solving problems on the farm, essentially. You know, like you said, every day you're waking up and trying to analyze what needs to be done and how to do it. And I think your articles are going to be a great avenue for farmers to learn more.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
Travis, thanks for joining us on Between the Rows today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
That was Travis Workington, the newest machinery reporter with Grain News Magazine. In the last month or two, you might have noticed a surge of businesses now offering online services, whether that's to be takeout food or wine delivery. The switch to online has also occurred in the education world, with most elementary, high school, and university students all converting their classes onto online lessons. I wanted to know how this affects the ag industry, so I spoke with Guy Ash, a global training manager with Pessl Instruments, about how agronomy technology companies or universities could embrace this online education model. Guy joins me now over the phone to discuss how Pessl and Metos are already developing online education and certification programs for some of the tools that they develop.
And then even into the agronomy side, so okay, now I've got all this technology, how do I use it to produce better agronomy, do better agronomy, or return a better return on investment through better yield management, quality of a crop. So absolutely, you know, companies have pivoted into the e-learning forte. So our e-learning portal through Metos Canada now is being widely used and being adapted into not only the Canadian market, but other countries as well are interested. So that opens the whole foray of other languages and other agronomic issues. So, and there's other companies doing this as well. But absolutely, e-learning becomes critical. And even providing, you know, the agronomy expertise and training that way, because we can't do it face-to-face. And farmers and customers being able to understand, you know, these tools as well, and to be able to monitor remotely so that there isn't as much travel. So my time and team's time has been extremely busy over the last 5 months developing a whole e-learning channel for Metos Canada.
Is there some sort of way to guarantee certification through this training? You had touched on it earlier that that would be a kind of a way to show either companies or customers that you are qualified to work with this, with a certain type of technology. So is that something that your guys' program is trying to establish, is a certification level as well as the education?
Yeah, actually, there's two phases that, you know, to go into a little more detail. Yes, absolutely. There is a certification part of our training. So as you go through your own paced learning, so there's a setup of videos on each topic with documents, and you know, you may be a software type module, and it takes you 60 minutes, but that's broken up into very short 3 to 4 minute videos. You then go through that, and throughout that training there's knowledge checks, and at the end there's a certification process where you need to pass a test and above 80% and be certified in it, and you actually get a certificate that, hey, I've passed on my understanding of how to use this software or my understanding of how to build a particular station. But you know, that's the first part, is in terms of the technology. But the second part is the agronomy, which is bigger than just software and hardware. It is how agronomically I use, for example, spray tools to benefit me in spray applications. That might be one. Or what is disease management, and how do I use these tools to return a better investment and look at things like the disease triangle and so forth? Or how do I use it for better nutrient management? You know, these are all tools that are part of the agronomy side that you will have as well knowledge checks and certification on.
And so can people, specifically looking at PESL's line of instruments and training, when can people start to look at that, you know, like is that available now, or is it kind of an ongoing staggered release as products come out? How does that work?
Yeah, no, it's already released. We have customers that have been piloting and using it. It's built into the subscription packages of Metals Canada. So if you buy a subscription package, it's bundled with that subscription package for you to use as part of your learning and library. So if you have something you forgot, you can go back to it and look at it and pull up the material and learn from it. So it is an operational thing today and being expanded into, you know, all the different business lines that are there in agriculture today in other countries as well.
And from what I can understand, you guys are teaming up and partnering with some of the universities and colleges, specifically those that offer agricultural training, and working with them to basically train future agronomists and ag professionals with a combination of skills and education from the school and from you guys. So can you explain how that's going to work?
So, you know, that's a bigger question, and we are working on that as well. So certainly in Canada, all the colleges and universities are very much gearing up for what you would call digital agriculture. And that includes, you know, traditionally it was been the agronomy side that you learn in business side, but there's also the technology side. So you've got to understand technology, communication being how does this stuff work through different networks and modems and so forth, and the software agronomy side. So all the colleges and universities are gearing up for that. We have discussions with numerous ones, parties, on content and producing content for that. They will build it into their undergraduate, diploma, and graduate programs as part of the education that they get. So there may be in the future, you know, somebody that comes out with a digital agriculture agronomy background certification from those programs. I don't know how they'll actually place a name or title on them, but certainly that's being put in place as part of it. Would it be done online through training? Could be. I don't know what all the colleges and universities are putting in place. As for us as a company in Metals Canada, we see this as fundamental for the success of somebody using and understanding these products, because the amount of tools in the toolbox now grows each day with new IoT devices that come online. So our platform, metostraining.com, which you go to, allows you to use our particular solutions and technology for understanding our products, plus the agronomy side from a business perspective, not the education side of it, like university, college.
So while you guys are building this online training, education, and certification program, I know it's going to be really, really valuable, but is it also fair to say that the boots on the ground experience and that in-field knowledge is going to still be just as applicable and just as important going forward?
Well, that's, you know, absolutely fundamental. It's good you bring it up. Boots on the ground is number one, right? The technology allows you to see issues as they're unfolding and direct your resources to those issues or deal with those issues. But that's boots on the ground that has to be there. So if it's a insect trap showing you counts climbing, you can direct your scouting to that particular area, which saves time and money. So boots on the ground is absolutely fundamental. If it's something that deals with, you know, disease management, oh, I see there's disease pressure, somebody has to be there to actually do the scouting and look. You'll never separate the two. This just allows a better heads up of what's going on in a particular areas with issues and allows for better scouting or boots on the ground to get the job done. Fundamental.
Okay, Guy, well, thanks a lot for joining us today. I really appreciate it. That was Guy Ash, a global training manager with Pessl Instruments. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Spencer Myers. As we just heard from Guy Ash, the ag industry is moving at an incredible pace despite some of our recent marketing and weather-related challenges. As the industry keeps moving, universities and colleges that prepare students for careers in ag also need to adapt. To discuss this, I spoke with Colin Penner, a farm management instructor with the University of Manitoba's Agriculture Diploma Program. Along with his teaching duties, Colin currently farms and is an alumni himself of the Agriculture Diploma Program at the University of Manitoba. Here's some of our conversation. Do you find that obviously your experience still on the farm working in the industry, does that help with your teaching? I'm sure it does, but...
Oh, absolutely. Like being at home on the farm is, I'm immersed in it all day, and when I'm about sick of farming, I get to come and talk about it. And so there's always new technologies, always interesting things that are going on. And so if I can relate my personal experience to the classroom, I think that's always been a benefit.
What are some things that you guys are currently doing just to prep students for an industry that moves very quick?
Well, over the past few years, we've gone through a change here at the university. More of an evolution as opposed to a change, but we've changed the farm management project to kind of evolve into, instead of focusing on what are your numbers, it's why are your numbers that way. Mm-hmm. And we talked with industry and they said, we're looking for students that know how to learn and then that understand kind of that bigger picture critical thinking type thing. So
okay.
We're moving more towards the tell us why you think this as opposed to what is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we get all sorts of neat answers from students about, you know, this is why I think it's this way.
Yeah.
And sometimes us thinking out of the box isn't nearly big enough. Students have bigger picture things that way.
Yeah.
Technology is changing so fast.
Yeah.
And as much as I like to include new technologies at home on the farm, there's so many good, neat things that are going on that I just can't. So we've actually got a new course that's happening this summer where the students will be we've approached 5 tech companies and we've said we'd like to have the student have your technology, use it for the summer, just go through it like they would be as a farmer, and then when the student's done with it, they come and present to the class, to the faculty, and sort of just present new technologies, because there's, I mean, probably dozens of new technologies every year that we'd like to try, but as staff, and we just don't have the time or the resources to do that.
So that's another question that we talked about earlier. You know, this industry moves so quick, but obviously universities and any teaching program can't just adapt exactly like that.
Yeah.
So what are some of these interesting technologies that the students have brought forward?
Well, that program hasn't kicked off yet, but I know some of the things that we've done at home is, I started using Farm at Hand a number of years ago.
Okay.
And so it's been something that, it's a great record-keeping software, so we've got the students to use it to, you know, keep track of their records when they're spraying, seeding, rates, all that stuff. And then when they come in and do their presentations later on, they have all that information in and they spot. That's a technology that's been really good to use. We've looked at all sorts of technologies. One of the big problems that we have is a lot of the technologies, they have a nice finished product.
Mm-hmm.
And at university, we want to teach the students, you know, what's going on in the background.
Yep.
So when we've got an accounting software and it does just a beautiful double entry accounting, it's great. And that's what I use at home on my farm, but we're still have to strip it down and use Excel for our accounting. So the students understand why the transactions are working the way they're working.
like you said, kind of just stressing that they know why the numbers are working a certain way rather than just knowing the exact final answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been really neat, and it's been a struggle for me because, you know, I'll have people approach me and say, hey, we've got this. Can you throw it in your combine, or can you throw it in your sprayer? And usually in order to use it for a season, you've got kind of that year lag. Mm-hmm. And so by the time I'm able to sit down now in January to assess a software that I've used or hardware that I've used on the farm, and then if I want to implement it next year in the classroom, it's pretty laggy. So I'm looking forward to having students that can go out and do that and say, hey, this is something that worked really well on our farm. Let's move forward with it. And I think it gives the tech firm a real good opportunity to say, hey, we've got this captive audience here at the university. Mm-hmm. We'd like to really, you know, see what they think. In the past, we've had an outfit come, and they hired some of our students to test their software. They did for a few evenings a week. I forget what they, you know, paid them in pizza and whatever. But
it's getting that collaboration.
It was. And then getting that feedback, because students, they're just uncanny at being able to find any errors that I make in an assignment or any error that a tech firm has, and they can find those very quickly. And to have someone that's 18, 20 years old, they've grown up in computers, and they understand things often a lot better than we do as faculty here.
Interesting. So is there anything that the university has maybe decided to either stop teaching or maybe just put less emphasis on in regards to something new? I know that that's kind of an open question, but...
Well, with the whole course renewal, we looked at what classes the students needed to have and what was not as needed anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, what we've taken out. But it's been a shift anyways that, in like farm machinery, for instance, you know, talking about, you know, plows is something that's kind of a swear word now out on the prairies, right? We want to stay away from plows, and we don't want to, you know... Tillage is evolved from plowing, and so that's something that we've changed from the curriculum, and we've taken that out.
Okay, that's a great example. So would you say that in terms of skills or maybe attitudes that students could bring forward, new grads that could bring forward, would you say that adaptability and willingness to learn new skills would be a big one, as you touched on earlier?
I think so. The students they're good at adapting, and like our program, the farm management project, we've looked at, you know, how do we change that, and what does the, you know, the farmer in 2020, 2030 need to have? What skills do they need to bring forward? And so, you know, we're discussing about farm safety an awful lot more than, say, even 10 years ago. We're discussing human resources. As farms get bigger, you need to deal with employees.
I know, as I was a student, there was starting to be more of an emphasis on, we had a communications course, I think, that was new to the program and things like that. So just acknowledging like those others, maybe some softer skills rather than just technical skills, maybe.
Yeah, and because if you teach in absolutes, like, you know, wheat requires this much nitrogen, this much phosphate, it's not an absolute. Mm-hmm. It changes between, you know, farm on one side of the river to the other, to the other side of the province, right?
Yeah.
That was Colin Penner, a farm management instructor with the University of Manitoba's Agriculture Diploma Program. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Spencer Myers. Last up on today's show, we'll turn to Marlo Glass of Markets Farm for our weekly look at the weather and markets. Hey Marlo, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you, along with most GFMers, have been working from home, but that hasn't stopped you from obviously analyzing the markets and weather. So let's talk a little bit about some of the recent reports that have come out, and then we'll talk recent weather.
For sure. Well, earlier in the week, the International Monetary Fund released an updated world economic outlook. While previous estimates expected global economic growth to total 3.3% in 2020, obviously that has changed. Revisions now show a contraction of approximately 3% around the world due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And specifically, the IMF expects Canada's economy to contract by more than 6%. So that's pretty significant. We still don't know exactly what this will mean for agriculture commodity markets, but the good news is that before the pandemic, Canada's economy was doing pretty well. So experts are hopeful that the agriculture sector will be able to weather this storm.
So that's some good news then, I guess. And the USDA has released their newest World Agricultural Supply Demand Estimate Report. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Certainly. So in the WASD, United States soy stocks were increased by 55 million bushels, but global vegetable oil stocks are still quite low, and so that has kept some support to soybean prices. Corn ending stocks were increased due to the significant drop in ethanol demand. That lowered demand is expected to continue for the foreseeable future until we start taking road trips and, you know, going flying on planes and life returns a little bit more to normal. So that's something that has continued to weigh on corn futures.
And something that was also quite interesting is that Stats Canada has suspended most or all of their data releases that aren't considered mission critical to this pandemic. So do you have any more information about that?
Well, that's the funny thing is that, you know, markets really do rely on that data and that information. It really takes direction from that. So we were expecting to receive a planted acreage report next week, but that's on hold for the foreseeable future. Statistics Canada said that they're only addressing critical data needs at this time, and Canadian ag markets will be left to speculate regarding planted acres. Now, just this morning, Wednesday, StatCan released its first ever flash estimate, which showed that Canada's economy contracted by 9% in March. The agency said that that's the largest month-to-month drop in Canada's GDP since it began tracking data in 1961.
You know, I think we've all felt a big impact from this, but I think once people hear those actual numbers, it makes that impact feel a little more real.
Definitely. Yeah, so that is definitely where Statistics Canada is focusing their energy right now. And we're just going to have to sit tight for those numbers for ag markets.
So I know you won't have a final date, but is there a plan to release these numbers at a certain point? They're just holding off, I guess, to try and lessen their staff stressing? Like, what would be the reason from withholding these numbers?
I believe it's just to concentrate efforts to the pandemic. We haven't been given an update when it comes to when we'll be getting those reports, so we're just going to have to wait and see.
And you've also mentioned that there's some news on the oil markets, so can you tell us what's going on there?
Certainly. So that's somewhat of a good news story, actually. After over a month of a pretty nasty price war that plummeted crude oil futures, OPEC and its allies have agreed to coordinate production cuts. So that means that they have agreed to reduce their crude oil output by 10 million barrels per day, and other producing countries in the G20 will also lower production rates by 5 to 7 million barrels per day. So the price war was really between Saudi Arabia, which is the de facto leader of OPEC, and Russia, which is an ally of OPEC, but they have kind of, they've backed away from previous price wars. But however, due to drastic decreases in oil demand due to COVID-19, oil prices are likely going to stay pretty low. Now, of course, that's not great news for our oil sector, but Canadian farmers can enjoy a bit of a lighter gas bill during seeding season.
Okay, so good news and bad news kind of all wrapped into one. So I guess the last thing we'll touch on numbers-wise is that, you know, we're starting to see some more concrete numbers involving the cases and deaths of COVID. So we're reaching around the cases, I should say, not deaths. Cases are very close to 2 million worldwide. Is there anything to elaborate on there about how it's affecting agriculture? Obviously, we know it's hitting every sector right now, but is there anything to elaborate on those numbers?
Yeah, like you say, it's affecting everything right now. And one trader that I spoke to said that this event is unique to our lifetime, right? We've never really seen anything quite like this. So it's really hard to kind of say exactly how ag markets are going to pull through. But needless to say, it's a lingering dark cloud over markets.
Okay, so Marlo, now we'll jump to the weather away from the markets and the numbers. On top of everything, now it's kind of flooding season. I've been seeing photos from further south in the United States, specifically East Grand Forks, and they're being hit quite hard right now. So is that expected to make its way further north to us? What can you tell us about the flooding and also the current weather that farmers are trying to deal with while they start their cropping season?
Yeah, well, currently we are seeing various degrees of flooding along the Red River between Fargo and the Canadian border. As you know, the Red River does flow from south to north, so it is making its way to the Winnipeg area. The good news is the Red River Basin is not expected to see significant precipitation for the next 2 weeks, so we won't be hopefully pounded with rain anytime soon. But yeah, on top of everything else, we do also have to watch the flood forecast.
And it varies quite a bit throughout the province. I've noticed in the western parts of the province, it's noticeably drier, and I don't think they'll be expecting quite as bad of a flood season as maybe towards Winnipeg and the Red River Valley.
I believe so.
Okay, well, that's great. Thanks again, Marlo, for joining us. As always, very informative and great to talk to you.
Thanks so much for having me. You take care.
That was Marlo Glass, a reporter with Glacier Markets Farm. That's it for today's show, but I hope you'll join us again next week. Also, keep an eye out for a set of bonus episodes being released very shortly, all about how the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting different sectors of the ag industry. Thanks for listening to Between the Rows. I've been your host this week, Spencer Myers.
Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.